Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
This is an honor, and I for a little backstory, I met you at the Comedy Store.
What?
The Comedy Store over here on Sunset.
Okay.
And you saw me on stage, briefly chatted after. You were funny in the 2 seconds that we talked afterwards, which was a treat. And then I saw you at the Laker game a few nights after, and you were so sweet, came up to me, chummed it up, told me like 10 stories in 5 minutes about the Laker days. You were telling me stories about being next to Bird and Magic courtside with like Jack.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. How many of these stories has Kales heard? All of them?
So many.
Yeah.
Most of them, I think. There's some, I'm thinking maybe I should leave for part of the episode because maybe there are some he has that I don't know. Perfect. How many years did we have courtside Lakers tickets?
Oh, you weren't born yet.
You brought me.
Oh, that's right. You were a baby.
I was little.
Whoa.
You literally like Shaq.
Well, who doesn't like Shaq?
What about Jack?
It was magic at that point.
Jack and, yeah.
Chevy, how cool is it that your daughter is...
talking? Sorry.
In comedy. And at one of the most prestigious places in L.A. Like
yeah,
to
they
get
really
your feet
give
wet.
Her a lot of respect. So I'm with you on that.
Oh my God.
She's there, plays the piano, takes your coat, wants to do the stage. Never. They say, never, young lady, just take
that's
my coat.
That's not what they say.
Huh?
That's not what they say, but that's nice for you.
All right, I won't say it. Wait.
Do you enjoy going to the Comedy Store and like just being around, you know, I use comedy vibes at this point? Yeah?
I do like it.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be serious.
For someone who's done so much comedy, I'm just always curious, like, what makes you laugh at this? After doing so much, being at the forefront of so much, and providing so much joy and laughter, like, what makes you giggle?
Honestly, my dad was an extremely funny man. He was a publisher and an editor and a writer, and he just was so damn funny that it just, I caught on, I guess. I don't know, you know. I improvise, basically. That's what I do. You'll rarely, if ever, see me with a script that says laugh. It's just natural for me, and it seemed like it was natural for my father.
Yeah.
Who's dead now. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, very often when Dad gets a script, I've been around for this at least for the last...
Yeah.
Bit of time.
Yes.
Very often when he gets a script, he goes over it and rewrites it or
what?
Moves things. When you get a script, you often rewrite it or go through
things
and
I
change things.
Oh, yeah. I
thought
you said relate.
No.
Okay. Rewrite.
No,
yeah.
You rewrite.
I mean, even Harold and I rewrote the, what were they? The first one was Vacation. Harold Ramis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rewrote it. Wow. Was there a moment you realized, like, did you make was it your dad laugh, a teacher laugh, people in the family? Because I feel like every person who's in the comedy business has that audience that they know of innately that they go, oh, I got that person to laugh. I've never seen them laugh before because of what I did. Did you have that experience with someone?
I was very funny in school. And, you know, I had to skip a couple of grades because of how funny I was.
But did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Yeah. I raised my hand in the class and said, Miss Newbie, Miss Newbie, can I go take a shit? She said, Mr. Chase, I don't find that funny. All right, I'll be right back. I'm going to take a shit.
We got to get this kid to the fifth grade.
This is what happened. Actually, he was
She was there. You know what I mean?
No, no, no. I'm saying this from things you've told me. And I'm one-upping you right now. Like in basketball.
Any mail for me? Yeah. What?
I'm passing to you, okay? Listen. Remember when... So he got in trouble for, I'm sure, being hilarious.
Of course.
And he...
You have class clown vibes for sure.
He was a class clown.
Yeah.
Sweetheart, did you hear that?
I'm deadly asleep. I'm 85 years old. Can't I just sleep the last 2 years of my fucking life? Just let them break in.
You know, if you've ever wanted to make your home feel safer, you're just like me, and there's no better time than now. This week, our friends at Simply Safe are giving you, my About Last Night podcast listeners, 40% off their award-winning home security. We love Simply Safe here at ALN because it has everything you need to make your home safe. Indoor and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored around the clock by trained professionals who send help the instant you need it. Simply Safe was even named the best home security system of 2021 by U.S. News and World Report, and they know what the fuck they're talking about. You can easily customize a system for your home online in minutes and even get free custom recommendations from Simply Safe. Every year, Simply Safe is giving away huge discounts, and this year is no exception. Right now, you can get a complete home security system starting at just over $100. That's insane. There are no long-term contracts or commitments. It's a really easy way to start feeling a little bit more safe and have a stronger peace of mind when you go to bed.
Well, that's all I want. I just want to eat my applesauce, jerk off, and sleep.
Well, you can do that, sir. Right now, if you take advantage of Simply Safe's holiday sale and get 40% off your new home security system by visiting simplysafe.com/about. Again, that's simplysafe.com/about right now for 40% off your entire system. Hurry, this offer ends soon.
I truly feel like you just had an awareness of like, making large groups of people laugh at one time was like going to be your thing, yeah?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't hear any of the laughing as we were leaving, obviously.
But it was funny to you.
Yeah, the silliness of it.
It's funny to me, and the silliness, yes. It's not to hurt anybody's feelings or do anything like that. It's just, it seemed like, in a way, like an early kind of John Cleese.
Monty Python types
things.
Yeah. Was that an influence for you?
Well, not back then. They weren't even
Who did kind of influence you comedically? Who did you like when you were coming up that got you kind of like...
Well, I told you my dad.
Yeah.
Chaplin.
Chaplin was my first favorite.
No shit.
Yeah, because I'm a very physical comic. And
the best.
The stuff he did was just brilliant to me. And I know he was short. 3'11", I don't know. But...
We'll Google it.
Okay. Anyway.
And Buster Keaton.
Too. Yeah, Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
Who tore his arm off grabbing a thing. The subway car.
Did he really?
No.
Oh.
But he reached out as it was going by and just grabbed it like this and went out of the screen. I mean, just with the bus.
Oh, my God.
Come on. That's good.
That's genius. So good.
Harry...
Belafonte.
That's a funny guy, huh? Harry Belafonte. I spent the summer. I spent the summer in Vancouver with my best friend's mom and him, and she was an actress named Vivica Lynforce.
Hmm.
And he was one of her great friends.
Yeah.
And he came out and stayed with us, and it was just unfortunately. A dud. I mean, I expected to hear things about being out, anything.
Yes.
And he was a very nice guy, but, you know, he and Vivica would sit in the kitchen like that. And I'd put my ear out to hear what he'd said. And he'd say, it's 5 o'clock or something. No, just nothing.
Nothing.
No.
No substance.
By the way, if he's still alive today, I'd like to apologize to him. For fucking his wife.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that's not it. I didn't mean that.
For taking his mail, I'm sorry.
That's
I get those mixed up. Yeah. I think it's safe to say you're regarded as the best physical comedian of all time.
That's really nice.
I know. I feel that. I felt that way since I was introduced to you. I was telling you before as we were walking in. I was rewatching on Carson when you gave a demonstration of how to do a chair fall. And I'm watching this, and I'd never seen this before. And Carson's like, hey, we've got a chair set up for you, and a glass of water, and you go up. And you give a whole breakdown of it. A whole break, like a comedy class at this point was blowing people's minds, I'm sure. I'm watching being like, if I was a kid watching this, I'd be like, holy shit, the best in the biz is giving a breakdown of moment to moment and the intention of why you have the chair there and why you have the glass. And it's, do you remember this? And there was, you're like,
I do now.
It's something to, you need something, a reason, and you have mom there and the glass is the reason to fall. You can't just fall over a chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went off stage and you go, mom, I'm going to go refill the glass. And then you walk back. And the way that you turn and the chair is maybe 5 feet away from you. So when you turn to walk, you know, it's just far away enough so that it people aren't going to question, well, how come he didn't see it? Because the two steps you take towards the chair are just enough to not see it when you're looking straight forward. Yeah. The way you hit it and make it look so effortless. But then I'm like, I watched like 10 times in a row because I'm like, it looks so calculated. And you fall and then you even stick your ass up. The glass is still kind of hold. The chair, you know, violently goes to the ground, which adds to the whole fall. Your legs are flying all, and then you just get up.
You know, we were great friends, Johnny Carson and me, till his death. He didn't smoke enough, that's why. And nobody knew he smoked. But of course, when it was commercial, and that killed him, COPD.
Yeah. Was he a fan? Did he like having you on? Was there always like, because you guys had.
Come on, yeah, because we played poker together at Dan Mullick's place out here. Dan Mullick.
They had a big poker game that they would do.
Just a fucking game.
Dad.
This is an amazing dynamic, by the way. There's going to be a podcast.
I think he forgot.
Forgot that you're there. Fucking
hell, love her. Well, also, don't forget about the falling.
What?
You're falling and how good you got at it. And it was pretty rare that he hurt himself, but there were a few times.
Well, when I went on SNL,
yeah,
and it was Lorne and my show. I mean, we put it together and got the cast and all that. And so that's just the two of us in this big office. And
I didn't know that.
Well, that's why I'm telling you. What's the matter with you?
Sorry, keep going.
Okay. Yeah.
So somehow it turned into, the first one was John Belushi and Michael O'Donoghue on two different chairs, and Michael saying, I would like to feed your fingertips to the Wolverines. And John is supposed to say that back. And he goes, I would like to feed your fingertips to the Wolverines. Next. Michael says, next, Little Bonnie, or something like that. And then Michael goes, heart attack. So John goes, that's one turn. Then I come out, and for no good reason, say, live from New York, it's Saturday night. And that, I was stuck with that and falling. For the rest of the fucking year.
So what I was going to bring up is...
I come out and do a really bad, a hard fall over the stair banister onto a table filled with people eating and crush it and, you know, just any kind of fall. Except it was...
He would work with the prop master and make sure that everything was in the right place for the fall. And then there was one time,
Willie Day, the prop man.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that you preceded every Live from New York with a fall. So that became the thing for each episode.
Yeah.
And that was Lorne's idea, or did you guys kind of jam on that together?
Lorne, there was no fall in the first one.
Yeah.
But the second one, Lorne knew I could take these tough falls.
Yeah.
And, I said, listen, I don't want to just say live from New York on Saturday night. Let me do something. And he said, okay. So I'm starting to think, what's funnier? You know, how about if every fucking show I fall and hurt myself, you know? So that's where it began. But there was a fall with Dan Aykroyd was Jimmy Carter in a debate with Gerald Ford, me.
Yes. You crush those.
Yeah. So, I'd say things to the questioners there of like, I think it was Jane saying something with numbers or something. And I said, I understand there would be no math, you know, before.
Classic.
As I understood it, you know. And then fall with the lectern in front of me, onto the lectern. And then not shortly thereafter, I peed blood.
Oh, so, no. From
I
the
swear.
Fall.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So, but, you know, show went on. And then I was in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. You truly just anything for the laugh type mentality, or
well,
you just trust
so.
Yourself too?
Yeah, I trust myself. But yeah, that was a tough one because the prop master, Willie Day, who was a great old guy, but he had forgotten to, looking at the lectern, when it's facing you, you have just an open space kind of. So I went down, but in fact he had left heavy piece of wood in the middle of the lectern.
Oh, bed. God.
So yeah. I hit that with my abdomen, as it were, and peed.
Can you break down for me the energy when you would fall, or how about when you do the live from New York at Saturday night? That energy in Studio 8H is, I mean, like every person who's a fan of the show, people who might, like myself, who've dreamed about being on it, think about that moment and to be a part of it in that way. Does it give you goosebumps to think about it? Like the energy in the room? Because I know it's like unlike anything else.
No, it makes me pee blood.
With joy. I think that's a happy pee.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, look at this. Come on, look, it's red. Anyway, come on. It was great to do the physical comedy because I was filled with that in my heart of hearts. Therefore, people recognized that the show was going to start that way, and they looked forward to it, you know. I only killed 2 people falling. But, I mean, it just physical to me is all comedy, really. I mean, ultimately, your choice to stare like that. really? I mean, nothing against it, but who the fuck are you?
That's Brian. Your biggest fan.
Hi, Brian.
Because you look at every season. I have friends who have been on one and done. And to me, they're some of the funniest people I know. And I go, man, they just didn't find their groove with the show. Yeah. You know, like,
Or
didn't have writers that dug them or.
Every show that I saw ever, forever, they would open it with Live from New York, right? But there was my Live from New York. Live from, you know, real. And then. We got people on now going, live from New York Saturday night, or, you know.
Yeah.
And live from New York, it's Saturday night, nothing bigger.
Gotcha.
It's just not right. You have to scream
it.
Yeah, you have
bring the enthusiasm.
Cut yourself from the script that you've just done at the beginning of the show. The, what's that called?
Dress rehearsal.
No.
Cold open.
Huh?
Cold open. Yeah.
Cold opening. Brian, put your pants back on, please. I know you like me.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what your hands are doing.
You helped Chevy out with one phrase, man. That doesn't constitute you taking your wiener out, all right?
No, a wiener. Is that what you call
it? 2-1 on Gomez. Fly ball to center field, and it's gone. Whoa, I hope you didn't bet that he was going to hit a double because you just lost it all, you dumb shit. Are you guys feeling like sports betting's getting a little out of your realm of understanding? Do you feel like when it comes to sports betting, you don't know where to start? Do you understand the market's moving and which smart bets are out there, and you want to have fun and listen while you're doing it, but you just don't know what the fuck you're doing? Well, BetQL Daily, sponsored by FanDuel, is the must-listen show for sports bettors and sports fans alike. I like the sports bet. I don't know what I'm truly doing. I'm a fan. I follow the stats and the players, but I need people, pros, to really give me the insights and break down what's going on so I can make my bets properly. BetQL Daily is hosted by Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth, and they serve up wage entertainment. That's wagertainment. Yeah, that's a real word. Served up by the best sports talk people in the betting biz. They're going to give you the insights you need each day for each game that you want. Find out where the market is moving across all the week's biggest sporting events. If you missed out on the earlier games, BetQL Daily has you covered there too with recaps from some of the biggest recent moments in sports. If you're not sure where to start with your sports betting and you're just like me and you're clueless but you love the games and you want to bet, start with BetQL Daily presented by FanDuel. Listen weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Odyssey, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Right, Al Pacino? All right, it's time to win, baby. Hoo-ah. Wait, how'd you get in here?
That first, that original cast is, I mean.
I agree with you on that. I have not seen any Saturday Night Live since then, and I will turn it on ever so.
Yeah.
That's anywhere near as off-putting, anywhere near as good as them. I mean, they were all terrific. Danny Aykroyd, the resident genius of that.
Yeah, I've heard you say that. He was kind of the...
Well, you know, he'd have some piece that... First of all, how about when he did Julia Childs?
Yes, amazing.
And it just began just... I mean, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then he did something where he was sort of sitting on part of a stage there, in a little darker area, and he had a suit on, and he had a painting about like so and so, four by four, whatever. And he was carefully pointing out the people in the painting and with their, and meanwhile, in sort of the background of the painting, is a completely nude woman, and which he wouldn't even recognize. And see here, like he had to get away with it. Like he had to get away with not with being on television and working with a naked woman. So, you know, just some brilliant stuff he did.
Were there sketches that you remember doing in dress rehearsal that you couldn't wait to do live on air because you were just like, oh, man, this is going to crush?
No. Thank you for
next
asking.
Question. What's your favorite color?
No, wait. So but let's go back
Monty
to Danny.
Python, what?
So Danny.
Your favorite color? Green. No, blue.
Dan Aykroyd. Danny has remained probably one of my dad's closest friends.
That's amazing.
Ended up presiding over marrying my sister at her wedding.
Oh my God.
And
he became a priest for that amount of time.
Which was very fun. When I first moved out here to California, I had nowhere to stay. I stayed at the Aykroyds for weeks at a time. I mean, they're family.
Yeah. I do have a Three Amigos question.
Yeah.
Did you guys make up your own chant to summon the invisible swordsman?
Harley, Harley, Harley. I don't remember. That was Steve. Steve and Marty are there trying their invisible swordsman. In the back, oh, good 100 feet. I'm holding their horses. And what is it? During that scene, which is a funny scene, no one's going to remember what was going on in the far back room with me on my horse and holding their horses. And I get off the horse, or I appear to get off the horse to get on a horse next to it. So my horse isn't tired and whatnot. I get off onto the horse's back, facing the wrong way, so that you can just see my and you see me do this. This is in the back. I'm figuring out what did I just do? You know, way in the back. It's the funniest goddamn moment, but it's too far away.
Did you guys improvise on that? I know you say you're because you're with three of the best to do it, right? Or
they couldn't sing for shit.
Oh, they could.
I know. Marty's
one of the best singers. I mean.
But
incredible.
He didn't sing with his good voice. He said, and the two of them, Steve, Marty, and I had to save Steve on and on and on through the picture from doing something not quite as funny. Or
don't shit.
Remember
on
that
your
first?
Friends.
Oh come on!
Did you guys hang? I'm always curious because the on-screen chemistry was just so amazing, and
we hung out a lot. Yeah, at Steve's, by the way.
They had weekly.
Steve, could I have a hamburger? Oh,
they had weekly Three Amigos and Wives dinners.
Oh my God!
Steve, and me, and Marty, and my wife Janie. So we're eating.
And Nancy.
Huh?
And Nancy was there, Marty's wife.
Oh yeah, Marty's wife. Anyway, he's eating a. Salad, I guess, at that point.
I've heard salad or mashed potatoes, but I could have confused it.
Oh, not just mashed potatoes. Okay. It was something like that.
Wouldn't be great if this was where you revealed that Steve Martin only ate mashed potatoes for dinner.
That's it, right? That's all he ate. No, so he sees a tooth in his salad. Look, there's a tooth in my salad. Waiter! Waiter comes over. There's a tooth in my salad. Takes the salad away. And Steve starts doing this. Wait a minute, that's my tooth. Waitress!
Yeah, call somebody different. I don't want to have the same waiter come back. Oh my God.
Oh, God, what a funny man.
You laughed a lot, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you think the off stage chemistry really does impact the on screen fun that you have and how it is conveyed to the audience?
Well, no. Thank you. No, I think how it's conveyed. Let's think about that word that you used. How it's conveyed to the audience. Do you think it's conveyed to the audience?
Or that the audience?
Hey, are you? I talk.
Now you're a child.
I'm okay. Okay with it. This is a treat. You can't do anything wrong right now.
All right.
You can tell sometimes, right, when a cast doesn't have camaraderie, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And you saying that you guys hung out and were buddies. If you drink the whole thing with your nose, I'll give you $50.
Oh.
50.
Christmas Vacation,
answer
for example.
That question for yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Christmas Vacation, for example. It seemed like that's a big ensemble film, right?
Yeah.
Like it seemed like, and to me, it's in my top three favorite movies of all time, and I'm not even fucking joking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's flawless to me.
I loved it, too.
You did?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, I was given permission pretty much by this cast member, that we were a family and for real, and that they didn't want to see me too upset or this or that. That's what my father was all about, you know. Take it easy, Clark, would you? You know, that all that stuff. And I come out of that. Hiding myself near, I think it was a water tank or something, drinking some water because I've just...
When you opened the certificate, the Jelly of the Month
Club? Yes.
Yeah.
So the Jelly of the Month Club sent me into a spin back.
One of the greatest spins of all time. Yeah.
But the spin really starts when I come back out.
That's the blood-sucking, heartless, toothless, dickless, fuckless. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I now found I could do. With the whole family there, you know.
Yes.
And you get the shot on me from behind my family, waiting and looking.
Yes.
And me going over words like that.
Yeah.
But each one of them is holding about a 3-foot by 2-foot card that has, you know, 6 of those words. And the next one, so I could just go forever.
Oh,
because I wrote them out on the cards.
I was just going to ask, how do you remember? Because it's a lot.
Well, cue cards.
Because you can't remember that much, but you have to make it look like Clark is so fucking pissed that he just can't stop himself. You know.
So you just kind of, and because you've gotten used to obviously being good at reading cue cards, so you're glancing down and then just.
Well,
staying.
They only had like 4 words on a cue card, but
right.
No problem. But
so at SNL is.
I can't
where
remember
that
how
started.
Many I wrote though. What?
It started at Saturday Night Live. And
they were sentences. I mean, they were long things. Yeah.
He's
but
continued
you had to
that.
Not look like you're reading them.
Yeah. Totally.
Everybody else since then in SNL, you can see them talking, saying something.
Yeah.
And they're like this. The cute, hello. And they're like, and they're like this. You know, like reading it. I mean, you can see it.
Yeah.
And you can feel it, that they're reading it.
Takes you out of it.
Poor like Bob De Niro. I love him. He's a good friend. And he doesn't want to come in and rehearse. Everybody else rehearses. Not Bob De Niro. So he comes in and does his lines like this. On just a cue card. The audience never knows where he's looking or why.
Oh.
You know.
Well, he's continued that, though. You have continued that throughout. Some movies
using
cue cards here and there.
Brilliant, Chevy. I pulled up the actual transcript. You wouldn't do us a solid and take us back down memory lane and read it, would you?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, do it.
Is this
this is verbatim. The
right. Frank Shirley was Brian Doyle Murray.
Crushed it. Oh. Again, Randy Quaid.
When I walk into Brian's office, the gift. And every gift is the same shape.
And you're so far away from him.
And I'm very far away. And I say something, I don't remember what it was, but something to the effect of Merry Christmas.
We got your Christmas card. Yeah.
Yeah, got your Christmas card. Thank you so much. And he goes, picks up the phone and goes, get me somebody, anybody. One of the best jokes I've ever seen.
Put it down with the rest of those.
Oh, my God.
My favorite, one of my favorite lines in the whole movie, and it's so quotable, is when everyone's walking out after you've had, you just showed your buddy the pool you're going to put in, and everyone's walking out, and you go, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass.
Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass.
Kiss your ass.
Kiss your ass. Was that this?
Happy Hanukkah.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so
just,
many.
It just came to me.
I mean, Randy Quaid, was he just a, did you, I mean, because that dynamic is synonymous with like just the great duos in comedy history, for sure. From the sledding scene for to him arriving to you guys even getting eggnog and he's in a fucking sweater and he's just like bragging to you about it. And you're asking questions about his fucking trailer as if you're like, you're just trying to make holiday small talk.
I know. I like it when he comes in. First of all, I love it when he's pissing in the morning on the back of my trailer. He says, shitter was full. He's still pissing.
And then you turn to Beverly and
but,
go.
But that also suggests that you don't ever have to see the inside of his trailer.
Yeah.
Because the shitter's full. And because it's that small and insignificant that they are. You know, the whole thing is working in the head of watching
brilliant.
It.
Even though, like, you, like, grabbing the when things are starting to fall off the rails, and what's it called? At the top of the banister, when it's kind of, like, loose.
Oh.
And then you just cut it off and then.
Oh, wait, it's.
Fix the newel post.
Fix the new polish. Yeah.
But you cut it off with a fucking
chainsaw.
I've
been totally crazy. My wife's come up to me and said, Clark, please. Yeah. Fix the new polish. I think that says it all.
Yeah.
Then I'm now, you know, violent.
Go ahead.
We're still friends, by the way, with Beverly. He talked to her maybe 2 days ago.
Amazing.
And she's, you know, around here, local.
She's a great gal. And,
great.
Yeah, that on-screen chemistry as well. You felt that it was a true.
She is such a good actress. I mean.
Amazing.
She made it look good. And, you know, this is the thing about fucking Hollywood is you can't take a woman that good and that fine an actress and still a fine-looking woman and just forget it. You know, just forget anything she's done. Don't give her a job.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She's not been in anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I'm headed there, but so far I've got this show. Let me see. I'm reading.
Yeah, please.
That's
no, thanks.
So let's set it up. So it was, so everyone's, you finally got your Christmas bonus.
Now, wait a minute. I'll do the acting. Oh, yeah, I did this.
Because it's Jelly of the Month Club, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. What is it, Clark? Something bigger than you expected?
Hey, if any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss. Of course, now Randy starts moving.
Yeah.
He's going to get him out of his office.
Okay, kidnap him.
I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head, and I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, imprinted, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty lipped worm head sack of monkey shit that he really is. Holy shit. Where's the Tylenol?
Oh my fucking God.
That'll cost you a lot.
Oh my God. Dude. That I'm never gonna
finish
that. Just about.
Hey Caleb, are we best friends? Yeah, Milton. I come to your house every day and stare at your mom's boobs while I eat your snacks. I pretty much think that means we're best friends. Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure that you weren't using me for my mom's boobs and my snacks. Yeah, definitely not. Oh boy.
We all have best friends, but do we have best fiends? Hi guys, I'm Adam Ray, here to tell you about my favorite new mobile puzzle game, Best Fiends. Look, I've played other Match 3 style games, and they don't compare. Best Fiends is by far the best of its kind. The rest are basically the same game with different colors. Besides, crushing candy is so 2012, it's time for a puzzle game with something that has something fresh to offer, right? We all want a new game that's fun, that challenges us, and is fun to look at when you're lying in bed and you can't fall asleep because you smoke too much weed. With Best Fiends, you play through an actual storyline, compete with the good guys, the fiends, and the not-so-good guys, the slugs. Your fiends start out as wee baby versions of their future selves, and the more you play, the more your fiends join your team, and the more powerful they become. They help you solve increasingly challenging puzzles as you progress through the game. Basically, it's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one. That's my favorite type of game. When I'm lying in bed at night, I want to be stimulated and challenged at the same time, so I wake up feeling fresh and smarter, right? There's new content being added to this game all the time, so you're truly never bored. I'm just getting started, but I'm already on level 6, and with literally thousands of levels and more added on every day, there's always a fresh challenge waiting when I need a mental pick-me-up. Download Best Fiends, F-I-E-N-D-S, free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends, F-I-E-N-D-S. But don't take my word for it. Listen to the satisfied customers.
Well, hi, I'm Dr. Phil. You know, I've been playing Best Fiends for years now, and it's truly my favorite game because when I'm in the hot tub or making toast, okay, for my wife, you know, and she's yelling at me, don't put too much jam on them. I'm going, shut your fucking mouth. I like to go into my study or my library or my sauna and play Best Fiends until she goes to bed, and then I can just slip into bed and continue to play Best Fiends uninterrupted because I love it so much. So go right now to your App Store or Google Play and download Best Fiends, F-I-E-N-D-S, so that you can start living a better, funner life. We'll be right back.
Chevy, that was unbelievable. I'm so glad that you say that movie has positive connotations for you, because it's just like, are you aware that it is such a staple for everyone's holiday season? How cool is that to know that it's at the top of the list?
Well, I don't know that. You're telling me. Yeah.
Do you think about that stuff, about films having lasting impacts like that?
No, I figure they don't have any.
It's a good way to think of it.
Hey, look, a Cagney film that you're going to get out.
Yeah.
No, I just don't really, you know, I have to remind myself that that I'm good and that people like to see me. On the other hand, I remind myself that that's not true. That nobody gives a shit. Their new stars are Harrison Ford or whatever. I mean, and I love Harrison, but he's shorter than me.
Yeah.
It's always nice talking to him.
You're what, 6'5"?
No, 6'4". Oh, 6'4". 3 quarters, something.
Yeah. Do you think that made the falls funnier, being tall?
I think so.
Yeah.
It was much further to fall for the audience. So.
Yeah. Even when you yell, it's like, to me, that's like another weapon in the arsenal. When you yell, like, I immediately think of like, Alan, hey, Alan, when you're trapped in the fucking, what do you call it?
The attic.
That whole thing when you see everyone. And then even when you're trying to open the window and you smack yourself in the face, like, there's so many little things that you do that are almost, I don't know if they're throwaways for you.
No, they aren't. In fact, at the time, it was all improv and I'm alone. They're shooting me. The reason we're shooting that scene at all is because we were in Breckenridge, where the skiing done, the thing was shot, and just had a huge snowstorm and couldn't get out. Mm. So the director said, "Let's shoot the scene in the attic." And I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say or do in the attic, I think it opens with me standing in the attic or something, I'm caught up there, and you know, first I go to the door, or I came up and do things like, not loud enough, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. You start shaking it, and then you even did it real quiet, like, hey, like, oh shit, like a realization of
And then I make my way to the window that opens up about 12 feet away, but on making my way, I found that there were boards I could walk on.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, I mean, for real, this is for real. I realized that one board comes up and another comes up the other way. So I make it my business to step on the first board, which hits me in the back of the head. And the next step is on the other board, which hits me in the face.
Dude,
this is just perfect Clark Griswold shit, you know?
Dude. So you're just discovering that in the moment?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
Great.
Truly brilliant. Two more Christmas Vacation questions. When the light, when you're putting the bulbs together and you know, you read the script at this point, right? You know certain moments are like big key plot points, right? And like getting the lights to work after everything is going to be huge. Is it, I mean, the push in on your face?
Meanwhile, a shot happens to hit the house, which has bulbs completely all over the house. Yes. Like I'd just been busy, you know. First, you see me, nothing really up there, and I'm just setting them out. And so this thought on part of the audience that Clark has just come off of the worst venture on that house with those fucking bulbs and everything. That's there in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. And these are, for me, to leave people with a sense of what's happening, but not really show it. You can do it with your face. You can do it in some fashion. Like when I was doing this, I got so pissed. Remember, it wouldn't work.
Yes.
And so I can see the right side of my eye. These are they goats or they're
the deer, the reindeer.
Reindeer. Yeah. And
I get so fucking.
I know. I see that thing, and I figure, you know, to myself, it's probably made out of, just
plastic.
No, because the plastic's what broke my finger.
Oh shit!
I mean, it's probably made out of something where it just styrofoam. Fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, styrofoam.
Yeah.
And so I really hit it.
Well, so that's a real reaction.
Yeah.
Yes, but no. I would still have done that if I didn't, you know, but no, it hurt.
Wow.
And I had a broken finger.
Yeah.
And the idea that Clark can hurt himself anytime in the film, you know, it's just.
But so sweet. Like, it was such an affable, relatable. I mean, my dad, we dubbed him Clark Griswold after a while because he had these, he would just take these spills. He was so lovable. He just saw life through a set of goggles of just wanting everybody to have a good time at no cost or at every cost. And like being like, wife comes up and you know, I only got 250,000 more lights. I'm going to staple these even if I staple my fucking hand to the roof.
Yeah.
Like
you
were like this, like it was such a relatable dad. And even if you didn't have that dad, you're like, fucking, this is the guy that we all want, you know?
Didn't it go back on that ladder that went to the roof and hit something and come back off?
Hey, you slid off the roof.
Slipped.
Yeah.
Ellen comes out and says, Clark, dinner. And I've fallen not only into the bush, which was set there by the amazing prop guys, but also on the toilet that was there from the movie with a...
No, wait. There was a movie that movie was Mel Gibson and
Mel Gibson and Mel Gibson and
Danny Glover,
Danny.
Lethal Weapon.
Was it Danny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Danny. Yeah. Okay, Danny Glover and Mel Gibson was called what?
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon. They had Glover sitting on the toilet and Mel coming in to the bathroom, and there's an explosion, isn't there? That shows the toilet leaving the entire house and lands on the grass.
Yes.
Well, we don't want that in our film. So the good prop men just hit it behind a bush. They don't want to have to carry it to the goddamn, you know, prop truck.
God.
So when I fall out of into that bush, I am now on the Lethal Weapon toilet.
That's true.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little full, a lot of sap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there someone you've wanted to act with that you just like that was on your top that you have almost had a chance to or have that you're like, wow, I can't believe I got to do that?
I know.
Goldie Hawn, like that. I mean, that was your first one. That was your first. I think I read you took that movie because you wanted to show your acting chops. Yeah.
I wanted to show Goldie my chops.
Yeah. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Anyway, Kaylee, what were you saying? I think De Niro.
De Niro, definitely.
Oh, Cleese.
But Cleese. John Cleese.
I came up with an idea for a sitcom, a half-hour sitcom, with me and Cleese.
Yeah.
And how funny we could make
Amazing,
that.
Amazing, yeah.
John said something to the effect of, I don't want to write anymore. I'm almost 80.
Well, John tours a lot.
We
had lunch with Camilla, his daughter, and John. And John tours, you know, as you do with the showing the movies and speaking. And
I tour, you know.
Yeah. Kaylee was telling me about that. I missed the.
Well, I go from colleges to towns.
That's awesome.
And it's usually about 2,000 to 3,000 people. And they watch Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
And then I come out and sit on a chair. And they ask me questions.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can imagine what my answers are, but nothing good.
If it's anything like this, I bet it's awesome.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Do you enjoy it?
Should we plug?
I really enjoy it. I'm doing it again this year.
The next one, I think December 13th in Utica, New York.
Ooh.
Get there.
Is the next
Utica.
My God, I'm gonna have to
I've never heard
that.
Of it.
I think so. I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Good. What
we'll
movie?
Make sure. Christmas Vacation.
Wow.
December, you know.
Yeah.
How
Come
fun.
On. Yeah. It's iconic. It's synonymous with the season.
Yeah. He's asleep.
So De Niro, De Niro was a treat though.
Yeah.
Like acting with him, was that like a?
No, I never did.
Oh, somebody you want to?
You were asking somebody I wanted.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah.
I always want to be with Bob.
Yeah,
and we're very good friends. I mean, I don't. It's become a thing when there's any kind of activity in a large gym or something with lots of actors and whatnot. When Bob comes in late, and I'm standing there waiting for him, and sort of the right next to the enclosure of the door, and all these people, and he comes in and just stands there, and I say something like, "I don't recognize. He's got a beard. Can't recognize him." After a while, he goes, "It's a beard." I look down. Oh, shit, man! I can't tell who you are. That's the point, you know.
Yeah, yeah. A beard, it transforms you. I bet if Paul Simon had a beard, it would really transform that guy.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't.
Paul is one of my true friends. And,
yeah.
Just turned 80.
He had the, yeah. But he had the, yeah, he's in Morocco or someplace. Ecuador, I don't know. But in any case, Paul, he's an easy fix. He's a very intelligent guy.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I feel closest to him in terms of what do we know about the world. But, he's also very funny. When he did the turkey.
Yes.
The turkey. And so,
on SNL, yeah.
I just look stupid. Just stupid.
Brilliant, yeah.
That kind of acting is great to me.
How did he, so he was a big comedy fan. Is that why he asked you to be in You Can Call Me Al, the music video?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I learned that in the limo they sent for me on the way to that show. Yeah.
Shut That's the fuck true. Up.
No, I learned it in the car. And
it's so, all one take, by the way.
Yeah,
that's right. One take.
96 million views on YouTube.
And then at the end of the song,
yeah,
I'm standing and Paul's next to me, and we're doing these steps that Paul had shown me that all rock people do, you know, dun, 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 you know, in these fucking videos, and I'm playing for no particular reason a trombone, a slide trombone. Still looks like I know that, and Paul yes. knows what he's doing with
oh,
the
yeah.
horn. But I just get, as we go, and I can tell the song's going to end, I get closer and closer to hitting him in the head with until he breaks up. You can see he's breaking up.
Yeah.
Because I just got too close.
I love how much David Letterman, when I would watch you on Letterman, like adored you. And that to me is...
Who did?
David Letterman.
Adored me?
Oh, yeah. You could tell.
Well, why didn't he put me of those guests at the end of his fucking show?
I don't
why
know.
He had six people and Bill
oh,
Murray?
I don't know.
I knew why.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think David adores anything.
Gotcha.
You know, David's who he is, but
yeah,
nothing seems to shake him.
Did you like doing talk shows?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love being on his show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just clowning around here
yeah,
about
yeah.
not being picked for something. But, yeah, I mean.
Did you enjoy, like, having those kind of, because you were so loose with him. And I think what I enjoy is when someone's bringing who they are comedically and somebody that just accepts it, vibes with it, lets you be you fully, you know?
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
Dave likes somebody to come in and do stuff while Dave simply criticizes it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I love the guy.
It was a good back and forth. Chevy, I do need to know, though.
It's 3 feet long.
How did you know that's what I was going to ask?
I
had that look in my eye, didn't I?
My doctor said, I'm still looking for the tip.
Still looking for the tip. Where's this doctor from? That voice was amazing. Rolling Stone, when they did the SNL cast members, they did you were ranked 10 out of 141, and the quote they had in there about you, which I feel like
well,
is
10
just,
out of 141. What mm-hmm. what's that mean?
I think like the top 10, like the 10 best out of 141.
Oh,
yeah,
141. What
cast members?
Cast members.
In what?
141 total SNL cast
Saturday
members.
Night Live.
You were ranked number 10.
Well, that eats shit. Let me think. you tell me who's funnier.
I mean, it's all subjective.
I don't get upset about it.
But I want to give you.
I am upset.
Here's a compliment. Here's a compliment that follows. They then wrote, "It only took you one season to define the franchise. Without that deadpan arrogance, the whole SNL style of humor would fall flat." Give me.
I agree with that. See, that I agree with.
Yeah, okay.
But the earlier part, like, where I'm only number 10, I just take issue.
Oh boy.
Are you guys going to do any more synchronized swimming videos?
Yeah,
I got to see that.
We've got to do more.
Amazing.
It's colder in New York
and
now.
And that was
so
Kaylee's.
Yeah.
We were in the pool.
Time.
And she came up with this. And then I started like,
this is what we said.
We were in the pool and Emily's.
Yeah. So we were trying to get my sister's attention. She was in the middle of a work day.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course,
up in her room,
what we've decided to do is try to synchronize dance to distract
Anything
her,
to get.
Yelling her name, really so, interrupting the work day.
We're there just in the pool.
Yeah.
And then what do we do with our arms?
And then I
called it right snake.
Snake right. Right.
Snake right.
Snake right.
Snake left.
He wouldn't take regular commands. It wasn't right arm. It was snake right.
Well, our arms look like snakes.
Quite uncomfortable. Snake right, snake left,
and then
applause.
Oh, applause.
Know. I love that. Was my favorite part.
Yeah.
A little applause.
Applause.
Heart on head or.
Right. This.
Top of the head.
Yep. And then what was the last thing?
And you dunked.
We downed.
Slowly dunked.
I think it was disappear, was that one.
Disappear.
Yeah, but it didn't work out because I could see my back.
Yeah,
he
floated afterwards. Well, but we're going to come up with more of these.
Okay,
but
good.
I just
no, we aren't.
That was a wrap on that.
No, we're definitely going to do more.
Are you announcing your retirement from synchronized swimming here?
Maybe,
no.
But
no, because it's good for your joints.
Yeah.
Listen, swimming
My
is so
joints?
Good for
what
you.
What are you saying? Okay, go ahead.
You have joints like every other human.
Oh, joints.
Yeah. I do want to say I do appreciate how you've crushed it with Kaylee. She has become a dear friend of mine and is fucking hilarious in the sketches, in life. And I know how proud you are of her. And I just
more than proud. I got to tell you,
she's incredible.
We are so close. And I hate like leaving, going back to New York or something and missing my Kaylee. Because, you know, I have two of my other older, I have Sydney, who's the oldest, and Emily, who's the youngest.
Yeah.
And she's a bitch.
She'll love this.
No.
She will, though.
No, I love her to death. But, you know, Cake and I, we just meld. We love it. We love each other. And,
yeah.
And she talks, you know, too much.
Too much. I talk too much. He tells me that a lot. No, but we are very close. I'm very similar to my dad. And, you know, that can be terrifying.
In the sketch we did, she, you know, in her delivery, like same, like dry, like the deadpan, like I was like, oh, man, I could just see it. It was really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her delivery. Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Yeah. You did well. And I really loved that when you hosted SNL and you did the whole you brought your family up. Do you remember this whole bit? When you brought you got real sincere, by the way,
yeah.
You know, when you hosted and you said right away into the monologue and saying how, you know, not a lot of people get a chance to take this platform to speak from the heart. And you kind of said a real sweet, like, and I'm sure it was all real, like that part of it. And you're setting up and I'm like, what is the bit here? There's no way he can just do a full sweet sentimental opening and then just go lives here. We'll be right back. And so you set up and you talk about how your family made life worthwhile and made being a dad. And you said all the movies, being on the stage was the biggest thrill, but your family made life worthwhile. It was really sweet. I got real choked up watching it. And then you go, I told my family to sit up front and not go back to the green room because I wanted to bring them out. So I wanted to bring my mom out and my two, and my three sisters. And you brought out like a woman who looks, it's just like almost 100 years old, and then two gals and a man. Said these are my three sisters.
Not family at all.
Yes, yeah. Not family
they
at all.
Just
hired actors. People. And then you said, I'll see you. Oh, dude, it was so
hilarious.
It was just so.
They weren't there, my family, at all.
No.
No.
It was just for the bit, dude. It was all for the bit. But your commitment, you were like, and this is what you've crushed in everything you've done, and I hope you know this, is the balance and the blend of heartfelt sincerity and grounded characters in everything you've done.
Yeah.
And then the comedy is just on another level. And it's, it's been very rare to see that done like you've done. You know, Farley, I feel like, was in a similar boat with, you know, Robin Williams with the heart, but like you, the physical stuff, and then the groundedness that you have, where you always feel like you're a real person, even when it's larger than life.
Yeah.
Is, man, should not be overlooked, is how incredible it is.
I'm thinking about Farley now and how he was taking so much drugs, coke and everything. And Lauren asked me to talk to him because he's afraid for him. Pretty much the same way you'd be afraid of John, for John,
yeah,
or anybody. So I had him in a little room right off the set. And, you know, I said, Chris, we don't want you to be another John. You've got to cut it out. You got to, you know, this and that. And he was listening carefully, and he thought that my forthrightness was good. And like, I had the sense that he's going to quit. But no, fuck.
Yeah, couldn't stop it.
No, he'll just say, okay, Chevy, thank you. Can I go shoot my coke now? You know, anyway.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it killed him.
Yeah.
And we were all doing one drug or another when we started the show that first year. But it wasn't anything like that. It was like at the end of the day, Lauren would say, you want to go off, smoke a joint, like in an apartment or something.
Yeah.
That was it. Smoking a joint. But
do you have good smoking weed stories or days? Does that?
Oh, what about the Caddyshack?
Caddyshack, we filmed in Florida. I can't remember the town. What are you doing?
I dribbled water. Just keep concentrating.
Physical comedy
ahead.
In this family. It just doesn't stop.
Anyway, so.
Caddyshack.
I'm asleep.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
I'm asleep because I get up early and I get prepared. So there's a knock on my door around 10:30. Yeah, what is it? Come in. And Bill Murray and Brian Doyle and Murray are now in my door. Say, hey, Chase, you got any coke? No, I don't have any coke. Please let me go back. Have any pot? It's not that much of a...
Yeah.
And no, I don't. Oh, I know coke and pot. Next door. Just go in. Rodney would be happy to have him there. So they go in to Rodney's. And Rodney, do you have any coke or pot? And Rodney goes, you see that bag in front of you? Right, and there is a bag, paper bag. Take it, go enjoy it. Oh, okay, thanks, Rodney. They're now outside, open the bag, and it's all seeds.
Oh my God.
That's the funniest thing he ever did. It's just hilarious. It's like he'd been thinking about it.
Yeah, he prepared it.
Yeah, he knew they were coming for it.
Sooner or later, they're coming.
That's fucking amazing.
That's pretty good.
That's got to be another one of those sets where it was just constant goofs, right? I mean, nonstop, right?
Yeah.
And laughs.
Yeah.
Well, they improvised, you and Billy improvised your scene.
Which one was that? Oh, yeah, in the Caddyshack.
Yeah, in Caddyshack. Total improv. When you play
I come in with making sure that I have something that looks as I'm coming in the shadow of me, looking like a slicer, you know, a huge fucking... anyway, so it could look dangerous or angry for a couple of those shots. And then as I come in, it's just my club. And I'd... anyway, I knocked the ball into the Caddyshack, breaking the window. And they show Bill, who's strangely enough, with little sort of animals and people that he makes out of clay.
Yeah.
So you know he's done. He's gone. You know, and dangerous. There's something very dangerous about Bill. And so I come in with that thing, and... the ball has now landed on, it's landed on a fake grass pillow thing on a table. I haven't broken the glass. And I Do you mind if I play through? One of my favorite things, because that's a real golfer's term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never play golf. Fuck it. So, do you mind if I play through? And Billy goes, no, that's good. You have a pool, don't you, at your house? We have a pool. This is all made up right then. We have a pool and a pond. Pond would be good for you.
Oh, my God.
And when I said pond will be good for you, if you're ever watching it, look at his face, because this is the only time I got him laughing a little, just like this. Yeah.
Wow.
He won't be taken.
Yeah. Did Norm ask you to do dirty work? Because that is one of your, to me, like, can
Norm
we...
did ask him to, because I know that because I was at the house when Norm called.
So Norm, because there's a fraternity of SNL, but like Update Guys, I would also assume. And gals,
yeah,
right?
I didn't like any of the others. I really thought Norm was on the money.
And, gotcha.
And when I looked at one of them where he just said things like, and kill the queen or whatever, it just right. not, well, there was nothing to the story, yeah. but he would always just put something in there that made it funny. I felt very close to Norm. And then we became very good friends.
That's fine. Oh, this I can help him.
Oh, this is you and your headphones. Can you hear? And dirty work? Is your scene?
No, what was that?
Come back, sit down.
That's you.
Hey. I'm sorry. I'm a compulsive gambler. Now, I know there's really nobody to blame for this but myself. Well, I don't know, maybe the Buffalo Bills, the Boston Red Sox, or Mr. T, or the Jets.
Wait a minute, Mr. T, are you telling me that you bet on the fight in Rocky III and that you bet against Rocky?
Hindsight is 20/20, my friend. Come back here.
Oh my
Come
God!
Back here.
Yeah,
great.
You're smiling so just brimming. Is what? What are you thinking about?
It's clear that I'm a liar, which I love. I want it in everything.
But so like your delivery is just so, you know,
careful delivery.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, I know that I'm
so earnest,
just at the crossroads between. Something hateful, and I don't know, something delighted.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Great. All right, we'll wrap this up. Last, with a quick Inside the Actor Studio 10 questionnaire, quick questions to close this out. James Lipton style. Okay. Here we go.
There's an asshole. Jesus. Hated that man.
I was going to do my impression of him, but I'll pass.
Oh, no, dude.
Right, okay.
No, dude.
Welcome back in with Chevy Chase.
Yep, that's it.
Chevy.
That's it.
Chevy. What is your?
Oh, I'm so close to Chevy.
What is your? What is your favorite word?
I know the best stuff about, you know, Jesus. You know that you're just speaking to a sham.
Wait, do it.
Okay,
play,
that's enough.
Play it out.
Here we'll close
play
this
it
out.
Play it out with him.
Yes, honey.
He's doing
what are
it.
You directing now?
Yes, literally. Yes. Yeah,
Kale, you too. We'll go. Each everybody gets an answer. Ready?
Yeah.
What turns you on, Chevy?
I got a little swish in the back of my neck.
Kaylee, what turns you on?
Oh, man. Laughter.
Chevy, what turns you off?
If you push the switch down. I don't know.
Bravo. Bravo. No, it's perfect. Kaylee, what turns you off?
Too much seriousness.
Chevy, what is your favorite curse word?
Vaginal. I don't know what that
yeah, is. Yeah, that's perfect, dude. Don't question anything. Kaylee, what is your favorite curse word?
Definitely anything. My dad has the best because they're all usually off the cuff.
One word, Kaylee.
I would say cock breath.
Cock breath.
That's good.
Oof.
That's good.
I've never heard that.
You
just made it up.
You literally have said that.
What sound or noise do you love?
Sound of noise?
Chevy, what sound or noise do you love?
Farting, I think a big blasting furnace fart.
Always funny.
Mm-hmm.
Always funny. I don't want to get to the point in life where I don't laugh at a fart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's sad for you.
Cheers. That was amazing. Kaylee, what sound of noise do you love?
I'm going to actually copy that one fart. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen my dad used to walk through the room. The only person I've ever met that can fart on command. He would walk through the room while I was watching something.
On command. Come on.
And trip and fart at the so.
No, I
could chaplain do that
simultaneously. No, fart.
It's like a chaplain, but I fart, and then my whole body plunges forward as if it was, the fart was strong enough to you know.
And then he'd run out of the room. That was it. That was the only hello while I'm watching TV.
That's the coolest dad shit ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That, just to make you laugh.
It makes my wife want to leave me again. Yeah.
And when I called home, when I moved to LA, I'd call home. And when I went to college too, and dad would, on occasion, just fart into the phone. Just fart into the phone and hang
up. I did?
Yes, in the kitchen. And
what, did I just leave my fart on the phone for
that's
everybody
what
else?
I realized later is I had put my face
don't tell this
phone.
Story. No, it's a lie.
Okay.
Okay.
Kaylee, or Chevy, what sound or noise do you hate?
That's the noise I hear.
Dude, yeah, that's if we were playing Family
really
Feud, that'd be
one.
The number one answer.
Oh boy,
what Kaylee? What sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, loud chewing.
Yeah,
loud chewing.
And that's also Emily's favorite. They don't when we eat dinner, and I'm just going. She'll get up and leave.
If it's too close,
that's a superpower. I feel like
it is a superpower.
It's as bad as moist.
Chevy, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I'd like to be my girlfriend. No, I'd like to be. Is this a real question?
Yeah.
I'd like to. I am a jazz pianist, but I'd like to be better. And even though I played in New York Philharmonic once.
Wow.
But I it's just not enough. Brubeck said to me after seeing me up there that, oh no, this was the
Rhode Island Jazz Festival.
Yeah. No, it's not called that. It's the
Newport
Jazz
Thank
Festival.
You.
Thank you, Brian.
And there was I was hosting it. And there was a period of time after the first several musicians to what, when there was like a seventh inning stretch kind of thing. And I got over to the piano there and played a Bill Evans tune. It might have been Waltz for Debbie or it was largely a beautiful tune of his, which I'd learned.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the audience was settling down, and there was Dave in the what do you call him? Offstage. Okay, it's good enough. And
you're crushing it.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, who needs me? I mean, with you there playing, who needs me?
Yeah.
And it was a big compliment.
Wow.
I loved it.
Big
and he asked me what the tune was. And I said, it's Bill Evans' tune. And I could suss that Dave had never heard of Bill Evans, which is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Why do you love the piano so much? What is it about it? When you sit down to play, like, what comes over you?
Usually I'm under the piano, and the piano comes over me.
When you're do you play for the holidays? Will you play like you got one in the house, obviously, yeah?
No. I'm frankly always embarrassed playing because I think I'm not good enough. It's really true.
Because his expectation is all the way at the top.
Yeah.
You know, so how can you be?
Right. All right, Kaylee, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I haven't gotten far enough in my own to want another one.
Good answer.
What? Far enough than your what?
Yeah,
what?
Actor, sketch comedy, and music. That's all the things I do. I love all
can't
of it.
Think, oh, yeah, think yeah. About yeah. Another
can't
thing.
Think yeah. About another
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What profession would you not like to do, Chevy?
I would not like to be a whore.
Great answer. Great
Seriously
answer.
Seriously good answer.
Yeah. I've seen those
HBO
documentaries. Wow,
I can't top that.
You know
I don't
what whores
think...
are, don't you? Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
How do you think my parents met?
Yeah.
That's a nice call.
I can't think of anything worse.
All right, last question. Yeah. If heaven exists, Chevy, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Sit down and shut up.
What about if he complimented something comedically of yours? If he was a fan of something, what would you want him to?
I'd want him to say,
I saw this.
Yeah, I know. I saw that foul play. It ate shit.
That's not a compliment.
Oh, it isn't. No. Sorry. But... a compliment.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Nice cock.
There we go. There we go. That's what God's going to say. Okay.
Kaylee, no doubt your answer will be different.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, what yeah. if I said
well,
that?
Yeah. Well, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear yeah, God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I don't know. You're very talented. You know, just, yeah. I guess.
That's nice.
It's good.
You think he has time
you
for
did
that?
Well. Yeah.
Because you have a lot of time.
That is no time for me and my talent.
This has been one of the greatest days of my life. You're a true Aww. Comedy hero, legend. And to make time to do this, I can't even express to you how much it means to me. Truly.
Try.
And
how much does it mean to you?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot.
$400 worth?
Yeah. I mean, if you really, I'll send it if you need it. Yeah. If you have Venmo, I'll send it. Your daughter is a delight. It's been a true joy getting to know her. And I know she helped facilitate this. And I really appreciate it. It's just, and I hope you had a good time. This was.
We did. And this is the best girl I've ever known.
Yeah.
This girl right here.
You crushed it. You crushed it.